Live Ball on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
LBC, I'm Clive Bull. Don't forget the Money Hour coming up at 8 if you've got questions about wills and inheritance, probate, power of attorney. We'll be dealing with all of that in the Money Hour at 8. And we'll take more calls on drink driving in a moment as well. But before that, another Brexit challenge could be on the way. Theresa May facing a fresh legal challenge to her Brexit plans. The claimants in this case include one Remain and one Leave voter. They're seeking a judicial review into Theresa May's apparent decision to opt for a hard Brexit. Let's find out more about this from Adrian Yalland, who's one of the two claimants and a Conservative activist who's campaigned to leave the EU for 20 years. Adrian, good evening.
Good evening.
So tell us more about the basis of your case, first of all. What's the argument?
Yeah, OK, so there is, in a very brief way to sum up the law, we entered the single market via our membership of the European Union, but the European Union Act of 1994 established that we are signatories of the European Union, the single market in our own right. Now, Theresa May has said very clearly that she believes that we leave the European Union and we leave the single market as a consequence of leaving the European Union. And we think that in law she could be incorrect. Now, we think that this is an important point for two reasons. One, because it means that the government is effectively handing a very key negotiating card, an ace card, if you like, over to the European Union negotiators. And secondly, we think that her adopting that position means that we're going to be locked into 2 years of negotiations and bun fights over accessing the single market, or whether we remain members of the single market, or whether we have a trade deal. Whereas in actual fact, if she is wrong and we can leave the European Union and remain members of the single market, all that falls away. And we just simply have a straightforward situation where we leave the European Union, which could be a very quick and very painless and very swift process, but we continue to have full membership of the single market, which is not a European Union institution, as many people are led to believe. People completely misunderstand what the single market is all about. So we could remain in the single market. We wouldn't have the need for protracted two-year-long negotiations. Businesses would have a degree of certainty because they know that we're going to remain in the single market, even if it's just for a transitionary period for a number of years whilst we get our various ducks in a row and then perhaps at a later date decide to leave. And we think, therefore, that the government is really wise to just take a step back and just look at the legality of their position, because we think that they're adopting a position that is to the advantage of the European Union in the negotiations.
So where do we go from here with this case then? What happens next?
So tomorrow the government will be informed officially that we're making an application for a judicial review. There will be an application that goes to the court shortly thereafter, within a few weeks, probably before Christmas. And hopefully the judicial review will be heard, we hope, before the end of March, which is obviously the deadline for which Theresa May has set to trigger Article 50.
Is this another one that could end up being referred to a European court?
Well, it's very possible that the European court might have an interest in this. But what we're asking for is a decision on a very narrow area of law. And that area of law is very simply, is the government correct in its statement that when we leave the European Union, we automatically leave the single market?
So who decides that then?
Initially, at the first instance, it would be for the British court, the English and Welsh courts to decide. The divisional court of the High Court will make the initial decision.
But it could be a matter of European law in the end.
Well, this is a matter of international law. This is an agreement that is made between the United Kingdom and 26 other members in the European Union, and then the members of the European Free Trade Area. So it is a matter of international law. So it's possible that it could be decided in an international court. In this case, it would be the European Court of Justice.
So, some people might find that strange that effectively Europe was making a decision about our future in Europe.
Well, the reality is that we are a country that values and cherishes the rule of law. The rule of law underpins our democracy, whether it is our representative democracy, that we have the right to vote at the ballot box, and whether it is our parliamentary democracy, that Parliament holds the government to account. The rule of law is the bedrock of our constitution, and we can't simply turn around and say, because we find this particular bit of legislation uncomfortable or awkward, or we don't like it because we think it might threaten our particular perspective on Brexit, that we should just simply ignore it. That's the kind of thing that we criticise other countries for doing. And, you know, we're a country that lives by the rule of law. And why would we, as a country that have been saying, and I, as a Brexit campaigner, not just a voter, but a Brexit campaigner for 20 years since John Major forced the Maastricht Treaty upon us, have been saying, give me back my democracy, give me back my legal supremacy, I want my country back. Well, we're about to get it back. We're about to take back that legal sovereignty. We're about to take back parliamentary sovereignty. Well, then let's use it. You know, we shouldn't be afraid of using the very things we want to take back because we somehow perceive that we are going to prevent a hard Brexit.
But you might not be surprised. There's already people texting and tweeting saying, this is just another attempt to delay things. It's people who don't want to leave at all. But, I mean, you are a leaver. You want to leave anyway.
Well, I'm not just a leaver. I'm not just somebody that was sitting on the fence and then decided, well, maybe I'll vote to leave. I've been campaigning for Britain to leave the European Union
Boris.
For 20 years. Well, I can't comment on that. I don't think that was the case. I think that he's been a well-known sceptic for years. But I've campaigned to leave the European Union for 20 years, and I have achieved that ambition. And I want that ambition to be fulfilled. I want Theresa May to trigger Article 50,
right.
But I want her to trigger Article 50 in a way that is lawful, in a way that is legally correct, in a way that does not compromise our legal obligations under international law.
Why just not bother, though, and just let it flow on anyway and not worry? Or are you saying, really, that this would actually make it a better Brexit?
Well, there are two things. There are two issues that you've identified there. Should we just allow it just to take its natural course and not worry about it? No, we can't do that, because that is the risk that we run, that we will contravene our obligations under international law, and that would mean that the government is acting unlawfully, and we cannot allow that to happen. That's intolerable to the British people, that the government should act outside of the law. The second issue, I think, is that the European single market, the European Economic Area, to give it its formal title, gives subjects of Her Majesty the Queen rights that sit alongside rights that they have from the Treaty of Rome. There is clearly a mandate for the government to remove those rights under the Treaty of Rome, because we had a referendum and we rightly voted, in my opinion, to leave the European Union. So those rights will fall away when we leave the European Union. However, the legal advice that David Cameron was giving and that Boris Johnson was giving, saying when we leave the EU, we leave the European Economic Area, the single market, may well be wrong. Now, if that is the case, and if the government is wrong in its advice and the court finds in our favour, that means that those rights that arise as a result of the single market will continue until such time as Theresa May triggers Article 127 of the European Economic Area Agreement, which is the single market's equivalent of Article 50. And those rights will continue. Now, the question, therefore, is, does she have a mandate to trigger the removal of the United Kingdom from the single market on the basis of the...
Well, indeed. Yes. And what's your view on that? Do you think people were thinking, I vote Brexit and therefore I vote to come out of the single market, or I want to come out, but... Yeah, what? Really?
Undoubtedly, I think that a large proportion of people believed that when they were voting to leave the European Union, they were voting to leave the single market. David Cameron said it, Boris Johnson said it, Michael Gove said it. So I'm not disputing that people believe that. What I'm saying is that they may be wrong in their belief, because it might be that the legal advice that they came to rely on was incorrect. Now, if that legal advice is incorrect, that puts us in a difficult position where we, technically speaking, have rights under the EEA, under the single market, that will continue after Brexit, for which there is no legal mandate for the government to withdraw. That means that because Parliament took us into the single market through the European Economic Area Act of 1993, under our constitution, Parliament must revoke that act to give the government consent to revoke membership of the single market.
Understood.
So this is where we come back to the rule of law. So this is, so hand on heart, this is not an attempt to stymie Brexit or to prevent Brexit from happening. This is simply saying we want Brexit to be legal. We want Brexit to be lawful. Now, on a wider issue, which is should we continue in membership of the single market, I'm in two minds about this. I fully accept that there are problems around the three red lines that the referendum established on sovereignty, on border control, and on payments to the European Union budget. However, it is possible, as Liechtenstein demonstrates, as Norway demonstrates, that it's possible that we could remain in the single market and not violate the red lines that the referendum established. So I think that given the legal complexities around whether there is or whether there isn't a mandate to leave the single market, I think the government would be wise to have a look at the question of whether we actually need to leave the single market anyway. So there are three, in summary, there are three things. Is firstly, does the government have a legal mandate to take us out of the single market? No, probably it doesn't. Do we need to come out of the single market in order to live within the referendum red lines? Well, potentially not. And the fourth issue, the third issue, of course, is that, you know, whilst I voted for Brexit, 15 million other people did not. And because my side of the argument won the day, that doesn't give us the right to dictate the terms of Brexit and to just close down debate. And what we need is a national conversation that starts to rebuild national unity around a type of Brexit that works for the whole country. Now, I think that given the divisive nature of the debate and given the fact that so many people did not vote to leave, I think that we should have a look at whether remaining in the single market, providing it doesn't violate the referendum red lines, is a way forward that the country can unite around, that can have a broad consensus and broad support amongst both those who voted to remain and those who voted to leave, that we can, as a country, support the government in seeking that type of Brexit.
All right, Adrian, thank you very much. Very interesting to talk to you. Adrian Yalland, who campaigned actively, has done for 20 years to leave the EU, but he is one of two claimants, the other one being Peter Wilding, who is very much pro-EU, one of two claimants in this latest Brexit challenge, about which we'll be hearing a lot more, I suspect. LBC, I'm Clive Bull. It's 7:46.
LBC.